At this point, every information portal is saturated with mindfulness content. But this show is a unique, unusual, curious take on mindfulness. Some of what you hear will be completely new to you. Let's dive in and take a look at the nature of the aware mind. I invite you to deepen your awareness so that you may be liberated and inspired. I'm Sarah Vallely, professional coach. I help people overcome anxiety, heal from past trauma, improve their relationships, and maintain better work-life balance. Welcome to the show. I have another amazing guest with me today. Her name is Jasmine, and she is one of my clients and students. She also took my mindfulness course. She came to me because of her anxiety that's connected to her past trauma and also wanting to resolve some of her relationship issues. Jasmine, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on the show. I was kind of seeking out mindfulness meditation. When I was in New York City, I was in a Qigong, I was into insight meditation, nonviolent communication, Buddhism, you name it. And when I saw TSD listed in a mindfulness group, I was curious. And I Googled TSD, went on the website, read about it. And because I had the trauma focus, which was very unique from any type of mindfulness meditation that I'd been involved in, I contacted their website, set up a one-on-one, and we had a nice chat where I was telling you some of the things I was struggling with in relationships and emotions. And I just felt like it was a great fit. I can honestly say it's changed my life to be more fully in touch with emotions, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you've just put your all into it. You've taken it so seriously and you really got out of it what you put into it for sure. I know that you had been working with a therapist previously, and I'd love to hear your take on the difference between working with a therapist versus doing the mindfulness coaching with me.
I think back to, you know, what was my therapy sessions and now having learned what, you know, TSD with, you know, taming the mind and soothing the gut and dwelling in the heart. The model that I see on therapy was more externally focused, where TSD got me more internally focused. Therapy seemed being more intellectual, talking through things. But what mindfulness did was it got me in touch with myself, learning to trust myself, cultivating self-compassion. In therapy, the emotions that did come up was a lot of anger, self-doubt, and frustration. But having learned now TSD, you need to get to those heart emotions, you know, what's beneath the anger or the self-doubt in order to heal it. You know, and trauma takes you out of where you are, and TSD able to get me to reconnect, to be with myself, respond to life, acknowledge the fight and flight, the gut activations. And it helped me start noticing and being curious about my thoughts more. And TSD kind of gave me questions to get curious about it and explore it throughout the day. And the self-compassion piece as well helped me to work on accepting myself. It definitely helped me validate myself and heal part of the trauma.
You explained TSD so well. That was awesome. I remember one of the first exercises in coaching that really spoke to you, that really was a turning point for you, was the breaking down the mental emotions. And what that is we notice when we're frustrated, we notice when we have resentment, we notice when we're in anger, we notice sometimes when we're putting ourselves down, when we are in doubt. And these are all called mental emotions. And the reason we call them mental emotions is because there is thinking, logic intertwined with these emotions. So anger is a perfect example. If we're angry about something, we're angry because we think a certain way. There's a certain belief that we have that brings us to the anger. And so when we can break down these mental emotions, then we can really look at the process. What happened? What happened first? What was that deeper emotion that happened first? What was the thinking that kind of triggered and moved us into this cycle of anger or whatever that mental emotion is? And some examples of some of those deeper emotions are going to be rejection, abandonment, feeling unheard, betrayal, things like that. So we get to those deeper emotions.
This was a game changer for me, because when you grow up in a trauma household, when you're experiencing emotions and it wasn't safe, you know, or you felt unseen or unheard, you numb out to those difficult emotions. So this part of the emotional clusters was a way to bring mindfulness around what makes me feel unsafe, and then kind of break it down into, it was a feeling of fear, feeling unsafe. For example, I was out with this friend and we had a weekend getaway. I started noticing some feelings we were hanging out of feeling frustrated, feeling angry, feeling this longing to connect. When those feelings came up, I was, you know, wondering, well, what's behind that? You know, I started noticing, what was it about my friend that started tipping that off? And it was sort of this disconnect that friend was talking constantly. There wasn't a mutual exchange or flow to our conversations. And so it brought up feelings and needs for me to examine. And I realized through talking it out with you, it wasn't about my friend. It was looking at the strong feelings that it was bringing up about the circumstances. And so then, you know, looking at those, what was it about the anger? It was the disconnection. And what was it about the frustration? It was about my need to connect with somebody. It helped me to take ownership, to sort of think about what's best for me, what type of relationships will be best in my life. You know, it wasn't about blaming the friend. It was about looking at my choices. I have choices now with these feelings. Having compassion for myself and my needs, that was a game changer. I didn't always think in those terms. It created space for me to be aware of faulty logic. And then validating myself was the next step that I learned, was to have some self-compassion around that, to be comfortable with those feelings and say, even though I feel disconnected, I'm still loved. I'm still worthy of love. I'm connected and I'm a good person. And that made me feel safer to experience what was going on and see it more clearly.
Yeah, because that's what happens, is we've had past trauma and then these feelings come up about feeling unheard, feeling disconnected. That's the part of us that needs healing. It's so important to get in touch with those feelings, because you were on that trip with that person and you were getting angry and frustrated. And before you did this work, you probably would have just stayed angry and frustrated. But because you've been doing the work, you got to that feeling of disconnection and you were able to heal. And that's part of the process, is to create that space to just sit with that feeling of disconnection, give yourself compassion, validate yourself for your feelings, and go through a healing, which in turn led you to realize what you really needed in a relationship. And you are so much better at seeking that out now. And you had mentioned the emotional clusters and what those are. It's a chart of about 300 emotions in four different categories. This is the single most effective tool with all of my clients, is they can use this to really identify how they're feeling. Without it, a lot of people are kind of lost and not really sure what that feeling is. And it's so helpful to name it and know exactly what that emotion is, because when we do that, we can lean into it more and move through the healing process. So can you share a little bit more about that process of using the emotional clusters and being more aware of the specific emotion you were feeling and why that was so helpful?
There's a list, like you said, of mental emotions, heart emotions. I knew like three major emotions, like angry, sad, and happy. Mm-hmm. And this kind of gave me a whole spectrum. What I've realized is, if you have a limited language when it comes to your emotions, then you have you feel like you have limited choices to express yourself. Seeing these hard emotions and then realizing I was stuck in the mental emotions a lot. When I looked at that list, I saw all the different variations of anger and shame and blame. And I didn't know being disgusted is related to the mental emotion of being angry. Blaming myself, mental emotion tied to shame. Nobody taught me this. I had no idea, wasn't well versed in this. So it was like learning a new way of being able to communicate. And then that helped me with other people. Once I realized that I was operating mostly in mental emotions, when I got to move to the next level, which was the heart emotions, that's where I could feel that I could heal these. Because if I realized that underneath my frustration related to anger in a mental emotion was tied to my abandonment of feeling neglected and being frustrated in relationships, because I was constantly feeling in my friendships that I was being neglected, then that helped me heal that and then understand it and give myself self-compassion, that it's okay that I feel this way, that I have these feelings of abandonment or rejection. Yeah, this was a game changer for me because I didn't even know that there was a difference. I was operating in a lot of mental stuff, and that wasn't going to get me to be able to heal. And so that's what I'm so thankful for, is being able to speak and communicate more from my heart emotions and not being afraid of it by giving myself self-compassion that it's okay. I have these feelings and that will pass.
And I remember when the emotions were coming up and you were starting to be so mindful of your emotional process, you would pull your phone out and start making some notes. Can you tell us about that? Because that seemed like that was just so helpful for you.
When I'm feeling a lot of emotions, sometimes I tend to kind of numb out, not acknowledge and not process or not observe it. My phone was like that easy thing to pull out wherever I am and type into my notes what I observed, what happened between a discussion with a family member where the anger is so overwhelming to me that by writing down what I observed and how I felt, I can process it later. Because I know that my past history with trauma, it's always when emotion comes up, you tend to go out of the present moment. And so I need tools that help ground me in that moment. The training from TSD has helped me with that so that I can get through those emotional moments and not just kind of numb out and be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's such an important point that you brought up. When we've had past trauma, because of our past trauma, it is really difficult for us to process emotions in the moment. We weren't able to do that when we were children. It was unsafe for us to be emotional, process emotions in the moment. So when we become adults, it's really hard for us to process those emotions in the moment. So having these tools and having this direction to know how to be with these emotions and notice that they're going on, and then what to do when you're feeling them. There are the four different categories of emotions, and depending on what category they fall into, then it's kind of a different approach. So we have a certain approach for our mental emotions, those anger, resentment, blame. And then we have our gut emotions, which are associated with our fight or flight responses. So we have another approach if those emotions are coming up. And then our heart emotions are those difficult emotions that come up that are actually connected to past trauma. And so there's a different approach for that. I had a client once tell me that she said, "Wow, Sarah, I just realized that I don't have to get rid of my trauma. All I need to do is heal the emotions around my trauma." Do you relate to that?
Absolutely, because that's what gets me stuck. and I can, you know, rumination is something that I know you've addressed in our sessions, is that constant mental thinking, right? And so if I can be in touch more with the emotions and healing that, I can get through it. You know, I can process it. Part of the thing we've touched upon also is the fear, and how the fear for me can get me stuck. The fear of feeling, the fear of expression. And so the self-compassion exercises was so important for me to feel safe, to feel those emotions. It gave me so much hope that, yeah, everybody goes through things, they have the trauma, but I am not broken and I can heal this and I can have good relationships. It's definitely given me hope and that this, it doesn't define who I am just because I had trauma in my life.
We are going to take a 30-second break. You have asked for it, and it is here, a free monthly TSD Mindfulness online meditation group. Join us every third Saturday at 10 a.m. New York time, which is 3 p.m. London time. You will receive instruction, participate in discussion, and experience a guided meditation. Register at T as in tame, S as in soothe, D as in dwell, mind as in mindfulness.org. And we're back. I know that affirmation, "I am safe to feel all of my emotions," was really helpful for you. And then that validating your fear. Can you speak to that?
You know, I felt very vulnerable when I was recognizing the emotions that I was going through, and some of them didn't make me feel comfortable. Some of the affirmations, for example, would be, "Even though I feel abandoned, I am loved. I am worthy of love. I'm connected. I'm a good person." That would help me get through those sensations in the heart area, how I would feel about it. So those exercises spoke to me very strongly.
and that fear work, I know I sound like a broken record, but fear is not optional, but mm-hmm. worry is optional. Mm-hmm. And so that means we do have to do that work around the fear. We do need to lean into the fear. We need to have reverence for our fear. We need to be curious about our fear and understand it and validate ourselves for the fear so that when the fear comes up, I'm afraid, I don't want to be emotional. I don't want to be emotional on my own here. I don't want to be emotional in front of another person. And that fear comes up, and just taking a moment to take a breath and saying, you know, it's understandable that I'm afraid to feel my emotions. I've had past trauma. It's understandable I'm afraid to feel my emotions because there were times in my life when it wasn't safe to feel my emotions. So that validating can just take some of the intensity out of the experience, because it's almost like it exacerbates, because then we are invalidating ourselves unconsciously. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be thinking this. I shouldn't be feeling this. But when we take a moment to remind ourselves, yes, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay that you're feeling this. It doesn't mean we're going to feel like this forever and we can heal. But yeah, because of what I've been through, it's understandable that I feel this way.
Yeah, it's very comforting to know that there's nobody else in my life that would has given that type of validation. And it just makes you realize to give it to yourself is the greatest gift.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you have choices now. What are your choices?
When I have feelings in the moment, if I feel neglected or abandoned, I have a choice on how I can get through that moment by using affirmations or self-compassion. I have an option to move beyond it. That's kind of what it's helped me do. One thing that's come up for me is around empathy and empathy and understanding in my friendships. This has brought huge awareness, because I wasn't comfortable with empathy. I know when we first started meeting, if someone in my circle gave me empathy and understanding, it made my gut and it triggered me and made me feel uncomfortable. Made me realize why is because I'm not comfortable with that emotion myself, because I'm not empathetic and understanding to myself. You know, I hadn't worked on enough empathy of like what I've been going through. And that was through the self-compassion exercises. And then I realized, wait, I have choices. I can choose more empathetic friends, because as I get comfortable with my empathy and understanding, I can see it in other people. So that was a game changer for me. Then I realized I can surround myself with empathetic and understanding people. I looked around and I was looking at some of my friendships, and there wasn't a lot of empathy and understanding. That now I'm in a different place. I have choices. I can have that. I can bring that into my life. And that's just so awesome to know that the work that I do internally to manifest that externally by like attracts alike, you know.
That's one of the biggest benefits that my clients gain from doing coaching with me, is their relationships get so much better, whether that is a relationship that they're currently in, or they have such a better ability to go out and engage in new relationships. And so I just love to hear that this is one of the ways that your life has changed. You said in the beginning, my life has changed. So mm-hmm. I can see that you are surrounding yourself with more sensitive, empathetic people, which is making you feel more connected and bringing you those feelings that you really want to feel, that make you feel good.
When you grow up sort of in a trauma environment, you are mostly focused on the external of making everyone happy, people pleasing, making sure there's peace, and you forget about your own needs. So this has helped me be in touch with my needs, and that I'm deserving through the affirmations. I'm worthy. I deserve just as much as I give out to others and love doing that. I deserve to get that back. And that's huge for me. It was coming from a very low self-worthy place when I first met you, that I didn't think I deserved. And now I know I am worthy, just because I don't have to do anything to deserve that. And that's huge.
I love to hear all of that. That brings a smile to my face. Being aware of your needs and being deserving of your needs, it's such a big part of the healing process. I do these assessments with my clients. So when they begin, I have them take an assessment. It is primarily focused on emotions. Which emotions are you feeling, and at what intensity are you feeling those emotions? And then we usually take that assessment again after 6 sessions. And you had some huge improvements after 6 sessions. I know we've been working longer than 6 sessions, but this is out of 100 points on a 100-point scale. Your doubt went down 24 points. Your anxiety went down 47 points. That's half the scale. Concern went down 29 points. Feeling inferior went down 44 points. Again, almost half the scale. That's a huge drop. And feeling neglected went down 31 points. So I want to ask you about this drop in feeling inferior. I know we did some work around shame. What do you attribute that to? Such a great improvement in the realm of shame.
The first comes to mind is just always feeling I was responsible for everything, being self-critical on myself around that. That was a lot of the depth of the shame, the self-doubt, the devaluing, that I was always the responsible one. And I know that comes from trauma-infilled childhoods where you feel like you're taking on everybody's responsibility. I was operating from this place of I'm not worthy. The tools that you provide through TSD, I think it's a culmination of working on moving out of the mental emotions into the heart emotions, the affirmations of feeling that no matter what I'm feeling, it's okay, I'm okay, because that shame was about that self-critical voice that's just attacking myself. But when I take it out of that and put it in the heart and sit with that emotion and feel the sadness associated with that shame or go into that, I did a lot of, when I lived in New York, it was a lot of distraction. New York is really great for that, being planning mode, being busy. But now that I've moved to a different location for work, there's more time for me with reflection. And that is time to now look at those emotions. I think those numbers went down because I'm just realizing that regardless of how I feel, I'm still a good person and I'm still connected. Mm-hmm. And the shame was, there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. And so as I work on getting comfortable with like, it's cool. You know, I feel that way, but it's not who I am. It will pass. And that now view of myself has freed me to not tie myself to the shame anymore, because I can feel what's behind it and then let it go. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that lowers my anxiety. So that's probably why you see those levels go down, because I was feeling a lot of anxiety around that.
Well said. What happens is we have this emotion of inferiority. We have this emotion of not feeling good enough. And if we're not super mindful, we start to think we are not good enough. And with the mindfulness, we see those as two separate things. We have the thought, I'm not good enough, or I'm inferior. And then we have the emotion of feeling inferior. They're two different things. You're not inferior because you feel that way. It's just an emotion. It's a natural human reaction to certain things that have come up. With that emotion of inferiority, we just sit with it and give ourselves compassion and allow us to heal part of that trauma, because that is related to trauma. And then if we have the thought, I am inferior, that's a correction. That's a correction in thinking. You know, this is, no, actually I'm not. That's just a thought that's passing through my head and I'm not going to buy into it. It's not going to have power over me, simply not true. So yeah, a huge distinction that can be amazingly healing for so many people. So Jasmine, I know in some of our more current coaching sessions, we have been talking a lot about boundaries, which is always such a tricky subject because we have to get out of our comfort zone to really set these boundaries. And I know one of the things that we talked about is the importance of letting people know, or just thinking in our head, what is okay for people to do versus what is not okay, right? So a lot of times when people set boundaries, it's just like, this is not okay, not going to do that. But the way I like to work that is, this is what is okay. This is what feels good, but this is what doesn't feel good. Well, how have you been feeling about that work?
It's a work in progress in terms of the setting clear boundaries in different relationships. Started out being aware of my thoughts, And then moving into the emotions, it's like, be careful what you wish for, because now I'm so aware of my emotions in relationships that I'm realizing, oh, when I have a friendship and there's something that's, I need to exert the boundary, I'm feeling that uncomfortableness. And that's my flag to then say, oh, what's going on here? For my emotions, how, why am I feeling this way? What's behind it? And then now I'm in that mode of realizing I need to address some of these things. Or as you have guided me, who is safe in my relationships in order to do these types of things, like to communicate it? Because in the past, I had really bad experiences where I would share emotions or try to express how I felt about certain things with people. And I would get attacked. I would be told that something wrong with me and why I feel that way. So for me, I was very sensitive to that because I hadn't built that muscle of being confident, feeling strong that these, I'm not this emotion, but I have every right to express how I feel. That's a more assertive, confident way of doing it. I know you and I, that's our future sessions that we have coming up, and it's a work in progress, but it's basically given me that awareness that in order to feel connected with people, I am going to have to set these clear boundaries so that I get my needs met. I'm able to clear the air for them to know where I'm coming from, and they can expect the same from me. That feeds into vulnerability and being comfortable, tied into the emotions, being comfortable. That's what I'm working on now.
Well, Jasmine, thank you so much for sharing your story. You have had an incredible journey that you're still on, and you've taken this process so seriously, printing out the tools, referring to them between sessions, and following the exercises, and being so mindful about understanding what you need and what emotional process is really healthy for you. And so I'm just so inspired by all that you've done so far in coaching. And thank you so much for sharing your story with the listeners. I'm sure that everyone is relating to so much that you're saying, and they can use some of this information to help them really lean into their emotions more and heal themselves. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been lovely, and it's such a gift to be involved in this with the coaching and the course. So thank you.
You're very welcome. The Aware Mind podcast is a TSD mindfulness production. Please check out our show notes for upcoming events and links to additional resources. Please visit our website at tsdmind.org. That is T as in tame, S as in soothe, D as in dwell, mind as in mindfulness.org. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at TSD_mindfulness.